Amen. If you have the Word of God, please take the Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. We'll look at a few verses here, and then we'll proceed to other parts of Scripture. You know, after reviewing what is going on in our country, our community, and sometimes in our own lives, especially as you get older, you start to reflect on things differently. I know for some that are younger than I am, that may seem like I'm antiquated somewhat, but I still feel young at heart sometimes, most of the time. But as you get older, you do begin to ponder things in life. And if I could challenge the young people this morning, and those who are not so young, and those who are very not so young. I don't know how to say that nicely, but the years have been kind to all of you. There's one thing for sure that we all can do, regardless of our age, IQ, social economic status, whatever, our matter of our affluence or not. There's one thing that's going to matter on this journey of life, is what kind of what type of quality of a journey it has been. And the quality of the journey is not by, again, our pedigree, even our accomplishments or our education. It's not about how much we leave our children. What this journey is, the quality of this journey depends on our quality of our walk with God. And I'm here to tell you, if we would just focus on this one thing, our very lives would change. Not only would our lives would change, our communities would change. If we would just focus on this one thing, our walk with God. Because when you're walking with someone, there is obviously a conscience, awareness of that individual being there. And when you have a walk with God, you cannot help but to be conscious of His presence. And one of the most awesome things that any of us could ever get a grip on is the fact that God is always present. But because we are earthly, we are made of matter that is not going to exist in forever. We are going to have angelic bodies and things of that nature. I hope they scream really loud, because sometimes I feel like doing that myself. It'd be fine. I'm glad he came. I hope he comes back. Amen. The greatest thing we can focus on is our walk with God. And that can be done at any time. We get so distracted because we are of earth. We are made with physical matter that is going to return to dust one of these days. And in Genesis chapter number 5, we're going to read a few verses here. We'll start at verse 21. And there's a lot of names here. God does not give these names just to fill up a page in a book. And I often say to people, God, the Bible is not everything that God knows. It's what God wants us to know. And we couldn't contain it. You take all the masterminds of the world, all the college degrees of the world, God already knew that stuff and knows it better. He's all-knowing God. May I say, God is smart. He's intellectual. And for anybody to ever say that it's not intellectual to follow God, well, that's dumb. God knows everything. You know, I mean, think about some of the things that people say to get you and I to not follow God and make themselves to be on some pedestal. That's ridiculous. But one thing we can have that they can see and should see is a walk with God. Genesis chapter number 5, verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, and after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. Can you say that with me? Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Now, if you go through the catalog of the genealogy here, you will find Enoch didn't live as long as the rest of these people. But the quality of the walk that he had, the quality of the life that he had, was not measured by the number of days he had on earth. It was measured by the quality of walk that he had with God. Twice in this passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God. I'm going to tell you something. If I was a 13, 14-year-old, or 9-year-old, or 20-year-old, or 25-year-old, this is what I would be focused on. I wasn't focused on this when I was at that age. But I'm trying to get my children focused on this thing. And we talked a lot about meditating on the Scripture. But the fact is, you cannot have a close walk with God like Enoch had without meditating on the Scripture of God. Now, the sermon isn't about meditating today. The sermon is about having a walk with God. You see, the greatest thing about his life was not that he was raptured. And the Bible says that he walked with God in verse 24, and he was not, for God took him. In other words, the man never saw death. He was just translated and went to God. There's only two people in Scripture that ever did that, and that's Elijah and Enoch. Outside of that, everybody else tasted death. But the man walked with God. You see, the journey is just as important, Christian. Listen, the journey is just as important as the destination. And if we don't understand that Enoch had understood something here, and I'm telling you, listen, dads, this will impact your family. This will impact your marriage. This will impact your life because everything comes back to your walk with God. Man was not made to do life alone. I said that earlier today. Man was not made to do life alone. He was meant to do it with God, and we can only do it with God but after we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you notice this, the Bible says twice he walked with God. We must learn what it is to walk with God through Jesus Christ. And when we learn that, we will have understood what life is all about. Listen to me, please. Life isn't about what we have accomplished. Life isn't about those things. Life is about walking with God. And we need to get a hold of that. A lot of our problems will go away today if we start learning to walk with God. Now, I'm not talking about having a correct doctrinal set of theology up here, even though we should have that. Don't get me wrong. We ought to have a correct doctrine. But a correct doctrine is not going to help you or encapsulate or ensure the fact that you have a walk with God. It will help you. It will give you a proper understanding of God. You've got to have that. But I know for a fact in my own life, just because you learn a body of doctrines and it may get you on the right road, that does not help us to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only a guide rail to introduce us to Him. You see, when we walking with God, there is a vitality there. There's a realness there. I've been around people who have correct doctrine, but they're cold as ice. You can say amen. It's okay. They're cold as ice. They really don't know how to love. They're easily offended. They push their lips out very quickly. But you ask them this doctrine, oh yeah, they can give you chapter and verse. Listen, that's great. But listen, knowing God is even greater. Amen. Knowing God is greater. You see, we must learn. And let me just give you these few things. A walk with God will do a few things. It will do a few things for us in our life. Number one, a walk with God will demand that we be a different kind of people. A walk with God will demand we are a different kind of people. You're not going to act a certain way and have a walk with God. Listen, when my daddy was around, I acted like I ought to act. I said things like I should say them. My attitude was right all the time. Because this is a man who would wear you out if he even thought your attitude was negative. I got a spanking one time for saying, I don't care. You know what that reflected? A bad attitude. And you know what I learned out of that? When you're around this man, you better be conscious of how you act, conscious of what you say, conscious of what you do, because he didn't mind a second, he didn't mind a nanosecond of getting a hold of you and teaching you the right way. And when I was around him, let me tell you something, I acted and said and did a certain way. Why? Because he was there in presence. And when you have a walk with God, the presence of God is going to make a difference in your life. You're not going to do and say things a certain way. And by the way, let me just say this. When somebody understands this, listen, your worship is going to be right. Your walk is going to be right. Your words are going to be right. Because you're in the presence of a holy God. You see, you just cannot have this fluff Christianity and have a true walk with God. They're too incompatible. They're simply incompatible. Go to Proverbs chapter 14, if you would, please. Notice this here. The Bible says in chapter 14, verse number 18. Everybody there? The Bible says in verse number 18, the simple inherit folly. I want to tell you something. I've been pastoring quite a while, and even in my own life after receiving Christ as my personal Savior as a very young boy, you know, there's a lot of folly that you can identify in Christian people's lives. Why is that? Because they don't know God. They never truly got to know God. Listen, we may be heaven bound, but our life can still be chaos. And why is that? The Bible says the simple. You know what the simple is? The simple who are those who have not put the Bible into their life into practice. At a certain point, you're going to have to learn to love thy neighbor as thyself. At a certain point, you're going to have to learn what it is to say, love thy enemies. Amen. We're going to have to learn what it is to truly forgive when you want to take somebody's head off. Seriously. The reason why we have so much folly in our lives is because our walk with God is not the quality of walk that it should be. We can come to church and still not have this quality of walk. And this will impact your life, it'll impact your marriage, it'll impact everything it is, and it'll impact your children. And that's where I'm going with this thing. You see, the simple inherit folly. You know, if you were $1 million and you had $1 million coming to you, and your parents had left this to you, and they passed away, let me tell you, you'd be sitting there like, I'm sad mom and daddy are gone, but where's my million at? They inherit that. But we wonder why things come into our lives oftentimes. And I'm here to tell you, it's because God's people have not put the dots together. And this is the beauty about meditating on God's Word. You know what that does? It helps us connect the dots in life. And we pray to God, God help us, God help me in this situation. But the fact is, we have not connected the dots. And God's saying, look, you don't know me. Like you think you know me. How can I get in on your situation? Well, there's nothing but folly. Listen, I gave you my word. I gave you a Bible preaching church. I gave you the Holy Spirit. Listen, I can't do crazy because I'm not a crazy God. I can't bless this. You see, when a walk with God is there, when it is true, when it's right, it's going to demand that you live a certain way. It's just going to demand it. You see, we got too much of this. God, I'm going this way. You bless my way. There's too much of that going on. And listen, when the walk is there, listen, there will be a certain way to deal with this thing. Notice in verse, let's go to Psalms 49 while we're here. Very quickly, just want to touch on this verse. Look at this just a little bit more tonight. And if you're not there when I start reading, don't get mad at me, because I'm trying to get it all in. Psalms 49, verse 3. Notice this. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. Wisdom. And the meditation of my heart shall be what? Understanding. Understanding. And it's a bad testimony for the Lord when His people, their lives are just full of folly. Isn't so? Family members can't get along with Christian family members? I've got some of those. It's sad. Why is that? The Bible says, the Bible clearly says here in verse number 3, my mouth shall speak of what? Wisdom. And the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. You see, when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says, let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and let's look at this. Genesis chapter 3. Adam responded to a voice. And that voice was the voice of God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8, read with me. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, what? They didn't say they heard God walking. They didn't say they saw God walking. They said they heard the voice of God walking. You see, I can't prove this. And I usually don't inject my opinions in a sermon, but let me tell you something. In that perfect environment, Adam could go anywhere and still God was going to seek him because he had not yet sinned. You see, God wanted to be with him. God wanted to commune with him. God wanted to have a relationship with him that's so insatiable. God loved this created being that he created. And then he sinned. And God still loved us so much and wanted to have that walk with us and wanted to have that relationship with us to such a degree that he sent his own begotten son to die on the cross for us. And we say, oh, we're going to heaven because of Jesus. And that's true. But let's look behind that and see the heart of God who wants to have a walk with us. Who wants to have a walk with us. And we got all this folly coming in. Listen, a God that loves you that much don't want all the chaos in our life. Because when we have that walk with God, that chaos is not going to happen. And Christian, the only thing I can tell you today is intensify, focus on your walk with God. And stop saying everything's okay. You know, God, me and God, we're cool. Let me say, Christ ain't cool, He's holy. Amen. Amen. I've seen enough of the pump up religion. It doesn't do anybody any good. It's about a 30 minute fix a flat. Amen. I've lived long enough to see the difference. God wants a walk with us because He paid the ultimate price through His Son that we could afford and have that walk by putting our faith in Christ. Now listen, if we got the folly, that's not God's fault. That's our fault. Let us meditate on our life when in concordance with the Word of God and begin to iron out all this nonsense in our life. Because God doesn't want it that way. He doesn't want it that way. You see, Adam heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence, get this, the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You see, Enoch had a walk with God. Now, what did this in Enoch's life? You're going to be amazed. This is why I don't discount things, humanly speaking. You know, there's been a lot of young men come and got saved and going to live and do great things for God because they was interested in some old girl in the church. You know, I didn't say old girl, but, you know, like old, but you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, can't clean that one up. They always say if you want to build a youth apartment, just have a cute girl and some pizza and all the boys will come, you know. I wouldn't recommend that. But the fact is, you will find when Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, there was something that just so dramatically changed his life. And it was a human relationship. But it wasn't a boy meet girl. And by the way, if a girl has that much impact on the boy, thank God for her. You know, if a boy has that much impact on a young lady, turn them towards God. Praise God for him. Praise the Lord. I hope it didn't sound disparagingly when I said that. In Genesis 5, I want you to notice here. I'm going to try to follow my notes very closely here. Because what you will find, the next thing, a walk with God would lead others in a walk with God. Are you with me? A walk with God, a real, genuine walk with God, will influence others. And I'm going to tell you, this is powerful, because I got to thinking a couple of days ago, and I often think on this, how God has just blessed me. But the fact is, God has blessed me because, not because of the blessings, but because of the people He's put in my life to impact my life for Christ. And I'm thinking about a pastor right now. When I sent that man's ministry, I thought, my word, where did this guy come from? What planet did God pull him off of and sit here? I mean, such a realness. The Bible was so practical, but so deep and real, listening to him speak. And God did something in my heart through that. And it stirred my heart, and I thought, you know what? If God can use him, he can use me. Amen. Knowing where he come from. You see, what was it about that man's life? It was his walk. And you see, that walk would lead others to a walk, a higher walk in Christ. Look, the Bible says, notice this in chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, and Enoch, read this. You can't miss this, please. And Enoch lived 65 years, and what is this? Begat who? Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Please follow. Verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. What's this next word? After he what? When he looked in the face of his boy, something changed in his life. This man did not have a walk with God until something humanly transpired. He was looking in the face of his son. What does it say? Read it. What does it say? That word after. That's why I want you to key in on this. Are you with me? Verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. What's this word? After they had the baby boy. Enoch realized something, that his walk with God, he was going to have to impact other people, specifically his own family. Now, folks, listen, you might not get too worked up about trying to impact somebody else, and I'm sure many of you try to do that. But, dads, listen, we have a responsibility to walk with God in such a degree that we're impacting our families for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it'd be a great, great thing if we start just pointing out why they do something wrong, do stuff this and they don't do that. And we often say, you know what, I wasn't raised that way. I don't know. You know what, I said this a couple of Sundays ago, maybe last Sunday, a couple of Sundays ago. When parents revert to saying that kind of terminology, what they're saying is this: you're not impacting your child, the culture is impacting your child. We cannot compete with the world, the influence, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We can't do that. Listen, but we can have a walk with God. Amen. We can have a walk with God that impacts people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, when this happened here, when his family was in view, when he was looking at this, when he was looking at his son, you see, the Bible says that for 65 years, if you do the math here, he didn't have much of a walk with God. But it's somewhere along the line, because of his child, it changed. But after his son was born,
the Bible says that he begat Methuselah. You see, he had his family in view. And you see the Lord, and it's almost as if he said, the Lord help me. God, I'm coming after you with all I have. I'm going to tell you something. That kind of attitude will change your life. Lord, I'm seeking you with all I have and all that I am. And this is amazing. I want you to go to chapter 4. Let's look at this verse 28. Excuse me, verse 26. And the Bible says here, and to Seth, now this is Adam, right? This is Adam. Adam had Cain and Abel, right? Cain killed Abel. Cain was banished. Talking about the first family having turmoil, have mercy. Verse 26, everybody there, get this. And to Seth, to him also there was born a what? Son. And he called his name Enos. Now get this. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. Here we are then. We have a birth. We have a child that's coming in view here. We have a relative that's coming in view. You see, we're living in a day and age where people do not want to accept responsibility. Amen. You want me to say that again? We're living in a day and age where parents do not want to accept responsibility. We're living in a day and age where Christians do not want to accept responsibility. I can't walk for you. You can't walk for me. I have to have my own walk with God. Amen. I had a guy tell me one time, I was pastoring. He said, Pastor, he said, people want you to live it for them. I said, I can't do that. I can preach. I can try to inspire them. I can try to encourage them. But listen, your walk is your walk. And your life will reflect your walk. Think on that. It doesn't matter how much you... Well, it matters. Please don't take this wrong. Many times you come to church, if you don't have a walk with God, what good is that? You got so much folly going on, it's sad. It's sad to contemplate. Now notice, this is very important here. You see, and I want you to get this, the timing. And see, some of you are thinking, my children, I'm trying to encourage you this morning. I'm not trying to discourage you, okay? Watch this. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 6, now we're talking about Seth, right? Now come down in verse 6 in chapter 5. Read this. And Seth lived what? 105 years and begat who? Now back in chapter 4 in verse 26, the Bible says Seth begat Enoch. It doesn't tell us how old he is. So he is 105 years old when he had his Enos. Now that gives some of you hope, I know. Gives me hope, man. Right? But think about this. I'm trying to encourage you. For 105 years, nothing. He didn't have a walk with God. But one day he said, I'm going to have a walk with God. And men began to seek God. Is that what the Bible says in verse 26, chapter 4? He says, I'm going to have a walk with God. This walk did something. Now, let's dissect this. Let's unpack this a little bit here. Adam was the first man, right? Adam sinned. So, this is granddaddy to Seth. Excuse me, to Enos. So, what we have here is a dysfunctional family. Messed up big time. But all of a sudden, God gave a new beginning with this little boy being born. So I have not having anybody. Listen, if you have a child, you have one, you have two. That's a new beginning.
You see, for 105 years, Seth didn't have a walk. But there was a day when he started that walk. There was a day. And it's never too late to start a walk and begin to teach others about our great and glorious God. Now here's where it gets real. Well, me and my dad, my mom used to say it's like two bulls in the same pasture. Yeah. You know what kept me from having that great relationship with him and from him to me? That little word called pride. You see, the Bible says that God wants to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And I would just wonder if my dad would ever had come to me when I was being a knucklehead teenager and said, "Son, I haven't done it right, but today I'm walking with God. I'm not just going to church, I'm walking with God. And I want to tell you something, I love you. And I haven't always had the right attitude toward you, and I haven't always taught you from the Bible. But today, I've committed myself to walk with God. Will you come with me on this journey?" I want to tell you something. I know things would have been different for me. Even though my dad and I, we were like, "Kle-choo." No, I'm not doing that fist bump, la 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 stuff. That's Ella Carter. She'll do that. I fist bumped her one day. She said, "La la la la." I said, "What is that?" She said, "It's just la 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 la." His children are wonderful. Precious. But when my dad and I, we got around, it wasn't going to take long. You know, wasn't going to take long. Each quite sure they had it right. But the fact is, when you're walking with God, this is the glorious thing about Christianity. When you're walking with God, you can walk with others who are walking with God. Who in your family is not walking with? The Bible says name is 3-3. How can two walk together except they agree? Either somebody's agreeing with God in that relationship or they're not. You see, there was a day when Seth said, "I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to agree with God in my life." You see, what happens is, at a certain point, we stop agreeing with God, or we never have agreed with God. Yeah. Have you agreed with God that you're a sinner and undone and need Christ as your Savior? If you have, think about your relationships with people. How can two walk together unless they, what? Agree. As Enoch walked with God, God began to say something to him. Said, "Enoch, this isn't right, buddy. You know what, Lord? You're right. If I'm going to continue on this journey with you, I got to deal with this right here, right now." "Yes, sir. That's right. That's right, Enoch. That's right. You got to deal with this right now. Let's deal with it." You see, our relationships go bad because the walk has deteriorated. Is there something deteriorating in your life today? There's nothing greater we need to focus on than our walk with God. Because it affects everything else. Everything. Your job, your employer, everything. Enoch, what did he do? Walked with God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now. We just ask today that you will help the dads, the moms, even the children, to focus in and understand that everything out of our life is going to boil down to the quality of our walk with thee. Father, help us today. to be honest and transparent before you, to live a life that's changed. If we have to leave here today to go and make a phone call, and or even in person, let us begin today to do that. But Father, first, help us to come to you and say, Father, I've sinned, or I've fallen short. I haven't focused on my walk with you as I should have. Father, help us to walk with thee. We know you want us to, because you paid the price of your Son. You want this for our life. Oh, and the quality of the peace and the love and the joy that will flow from this walk with God. Father, we pray in Jesus' name.